I feel good today. I was sick last week, and I don't really remember what I said. So I hope it was good. this has been a really challenging and good growing week for me. Just wrapping up the series on the seven last statements of Jesus and the heavy impact that his words ought to carry in our lives, and then moving into really not being sure where I was going to go from there, and then I had a book given to me by a group of pastors that Chris and I meet with once a month, and it got put on the shelf like all the other books they give me, and just stayed there collecting dust. And then I thought, you know, every time we go to discuss these books, I don't have anything to talk about because I never read them, because I've got other things that I'd rather read. And so this week I pulled it out and I read it the day before we went to the group. Actually, the morning of, sorry. And wow, what a powerful message. What a timely message. I don't think it was an accident. I think God gave me that inspiration to take this book out and read it. Selfishly, to have something to talk about, but through that, really challenged me. And as you probably realize by now, in those moments that I get challenged, you get challenged. And so I'm going to use that book as kind of a foundation to start a new series I want to call Fan or Follower. And I just want to open with a question. Are you a follower of Jesus? Think about that for a minute. I already heard somebody say yes. Don't answer yet. Think about it. Are you a follower of Jesus? Is that a silly question for me to ask? I mean, you're all sitting in church, right? We just got through hearing people read Bible verses, and we just sang praises to Jesus, and some of us gave money. You know, you got up, you showered. Some of you showered. I hope most of you showered. You made an effort to be here. You do your best to live a good life. Maybe you read your Bible daily. Maybe you read it weekly. Maybe you read it monthly. Maybe you read Christian devotional books, Christian living books, blogs. Maybe you watch videos. You talk about being a follower. You might even know Christianese. You might know what things like traveling mercies and guard your heart and hedge of protection and unspoken request mean. That's Christianese, by the way. You probably pray. You pray before meals. You pray for sick people. You pray for finances. And occasionally when you remember, you pray for the people around that don't know Jesus like you do. But are these the things that define being a follower? I whispered to Isaac while Brianne was sharing, she's stealing my thunder. Is what we do, where we go, what we read, is that enough to define us as a follower? What's the difference between being a follower of Jesus and being a fan of Jesus? We all know the most quoted phrase in Scripture is what? What's the most quoted verse? I thought that too. But it's actually God helps those who help themselves. Which isn't even in the Bible. But that is at the top of the most quoted verses, because people actually think it's there. But actually, after that, it's John 3:16. For God so, that he gave his, that whoever shall not, but have. What does it look like to believe? What does it look like? Can I tell by looking at you that you believe? Does it look like the things I just listed? Going to church, reading our Bible, knowing how to talk the talk? Or is there somewhere else that we can find a good definition of what it looks like to believe? And I think you already know the answer because it's printed in your bulletin. Luke 9:23. Right after Jesus predicts his death to the disciples, he just gets through telling them, They're going to kill me. And I'm coming back. Then he says these words, which define, which give us a picture of what it looks like to believe, to fulfill the one qualification given to us in John 3:16. You want everlasting life? Believe. And this is what it looks like. Whoever wants to be, or then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. We have to become followers of Jesus, not just fans. There's a difference. A fan thinks of himself. A follower denies himself. Another word for deny is to refuse. Have you ever refused yourself something? Especially something that you really want? I think all of us have. It's hard, right? It's really hard for me to refuse giving myself Oreo cookies. Because I love Oreo cookies. A fan has an all-about-me attitude. What's in it for me? Entertain me. Make me happy. Make me comfortable. Do it my way. Which seems right because this is the way the world works, right? It seems like we're fitting right in. It doesn't seem like anything's wrong. But a follower is about the leader. And in this case, leader with a capital L because it's God. We're about his mission, his purpose, his goal. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what you want. It's not about what I want. No matter how good our intentions might be, we must continually be willing to deny ourselves and seek God's mission, purpose, and goal each day. That's why it says take up your cross daily. It's not a one-time event. Every morning we get up, God's mercies are brand new. You know why they're new? Because we need them every day. Because every day we wake up, we fall short. Every day we wake up, our flesh is crying out loud, telling us the things that we need and we want. And to take up our cross is to deny that. To put the flesh to death. To say, God, here's the list of stuff I want to have happen today. And then crumpling it up and throwing it in the trash and asking, but what do you want? What do you want? In the book that I read this week, which is called Not a Fan, and I sent an email out. It's $1.99 on Kindle. Great book for $1.99. Buy it now, and if you don't have time, read it later. It's worth it. But in that book, Kyle writes, there's no way to follow Jesus without him interfering with your life. Following Jesus will cost you something. Following Jesus always costs something. There's no way to follow Jesus without him interfering in your life. Another distinguishing element is fans bear nothing while followers bear a cross. As Christians, I think we get this concept mixed up a lot. Bearing a cross isn't about dealing with something in your life. It's not about dealing with your own problems. When you're sick, you're not bearing a cross. You have a problem. When Jesus carried his cross, it had nothing to do with him. He was innocent. He did nothing wrong. He didn't deserve it. It was our guilt, our shame, our sin that weighed down the cross that he carried. As fans, it's easy to say, I'll pray for you. Or, I hope that works out. Or, I know how you feel. Those are the kinds of things that fans say. But that's as far as we take it. There's no weight. There's no pain. There's no sacrifice. Just good intentions. And a light heart, because we're not the ones dealing with it. We hear someone else's problem, someone else's burden, someone else's brokenness. And then we can go home and turn on the TV, log into the computer, crack the book open, and forget about it. We said nice things. We felt bad. But that's not bearing a cross. A follower bears the burden for someone else, carries it for them, takes the weight off the shoulders of someone else, not because it's ours to bear, but because Jesus did it for us. And as his followers, as his disciples, we seek to model the life and love of our rabbi, of our teacher. This is what it means to bear a cross. It's not about dealing with my own problems, but it's about taking on someone else's, lightening the load for them, out of love. And we talked a lot about love this week. I talked about love this week with a lot of people. Agape love. And I had a few people say, I see that every time on your email. And I looked it up. It's a sacrificial love. It's a supernatural love. I can't force myself to have agape love for anyone. It's only through the grace of God, it's only through God replacing my will with his, that I can be willing to lose something for someone else. It's the same kind of love Jesus had for us when he carried that cross and then when he got nailed to it. Which leads me to my next point. Fans avoid action. Followers participate in action. I learned a lesson last week from my 4-year-old daughter. She told my wife, before a spanking, grant you, it makes God sad when we hit. I was amused at first, and I was happy. I was proud. She gets it. You shouldn't do things that make God sad. But the more I thought of this understanding, the more I realized that I'm not raising a follower, I'm raising a fan. Simply avoiding sin isn't a way to show devotion to God or faith in Christ. Anyone can avoid doing bad things. We can try real hard and avoid doing bad things. We teach our children right from wrong years before they can comprehend things like mercy, grace, and unconditional love. Think of even the most passionate fans. They don't do a whole lot to participate in the game. Being a follower is about being active, participating. Being a fan is about spectating. And even the most passionate fans' only job is to avoid doing something to hinder their enjoyment of the game. That's it. Don't throw food at the players. Don't trip people while they're playing the game. Don't do anything to get kicked out. Operating as a fan is all about me and not doing something to hinder my enjoyment in the process. Being a follower is about being active in the game. And Jesus was calling his disciples to follow him, which also meant leaving some things behind. It meant losing some things. It meant doing some things that they wouldn't have otherwise chosen to do. A lot of the stuff they did wasn't real fun to them. It meant loving people that they might not otherwise love. They might not otherwise even think about. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan. Two of those people should have done something. But because of the culture and because of the kind of people that they were, they didn't even think about it. They thought, I just need to stay as far away from that person as I can. I got things to do and I can't go around having to wash myself again after soiling myself from touching this unclean person. It's very easy to say, I love everyone. I love you, of course I do. I don't want anything bad to happen to you. But does that define love? Just because I don't want to have anything bad happen to my wife, is that good enough? Sure isn't. I'd be in trouble. It's really easy to say I love everyone. But who are you willing to lose something for? To lose your money? To lose your time? How about your life? I could go on and on and on with a list of differences between a fan and a follower. And in the coming weeks, we'll talk more about that. Were there fans in the Bible? What distinguished the great followers in Jesus' time? But in the meantime, I encourage you to have a DTR moment with Jesus. But I'm not going to tell you what that is. I'm just joking. I should do a sermon like that sometime. It'd be real easy to prepare for. DTR means define the relationship. So this week, I want you to take some time and have a define the relationship moment with Jesus. It's a lot like that moment when a dad talks to his daughter's boyfriend and asks, "What are your intentions with my daughter?" So sit down with Jesus. In the book, Kyle paints a picture of sitting down with Jesus at a coffee shop. And you sit down and he sits down. And maybe he just says, "What are your intentions with me? Am I your Lord? Are you my follower? What have you given up to follow me? What are you willing to lose?" Doesn't sound like a very fun conversation, but it's essential. You see, that this flies in the face of a culture of feel-good churches. This flies in the face of the wealth and health gospel. But when I read the words of Jesus, they challenge me. Whoever wants to gain his life will lose it. We like to skip over those parts. Am I your Lord? Are you my follower? What have you given up to follow me? What are you willing to lose? The definition of a fan is enthusiastic admirer. Now imagine sitting down with a dad, you're dating his daughter, and he asks, "What are your intentions with my daughter?" And you say, "Enthusiastic admirer. I just want to enjoy all the benefits of your daughter and really not commit to anything." What's that dad going to do? We probably can't talk about it in church. When Jesus seeks out the kind of relationship he wants to have with us, enthusiastic admirer is not one of the options. Kyle says that many churches in America have transformed from being sanctuaries to stadiums, where we can come in and cheer Jesus on. Where we can feel good because our pastor and our elders sure have it together. Or our parents have believed their whole lives, so I'm pretty sure I'm good too. The reality is Jesus wants a relationship with us, individually. You can't live that through your pastor. You can't live that through your elders. You can't live that through your parents. You have to define the relationship that you have with him. If fans were as impactful as we like to think they are, then our teams would never lose home games. Think about that. But all of us who are sports fans know the brokenheartedness of the reality that fans are not as impactful as we like to think they are. So spend some time this week with Jesus. Replay your relationship with him up to this point in your head. Ask him to identify key moments in your faith journey with him. Define your relationship with Jesus. Here's the good news. No matter where your relationship is now, there is always room for growth and transformation. We're not stuck where we are. We aren't stuck being fans. Through the grace of God, we can move into being a follower. But we're also not stuck being followers, because it's a daily dying. We have to choose each day to take up our cross and follow him. It's very evident when someone chooses to stop being a fan and start being a follower. But that process in reverse is kind of tricky, because they keep doing the same things they've always done, but the motivation changes. Pretty soon we stop doing it for him and start doing it to make ourselves feel good, to make ourselves feel like we're spiritual people, which is why it takes a daily waking up and saying, here's the things that I would like to have accomplished today, and throwing it away. But what do you want? So are you a fan or are you a follower? That's the question to wrestle with this week. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for your grace and your mercy and your love. And Lord, we're thankful that no matter where we find ourselves on that scale today, fan or follower, that your love is the same. But Lord, I pray that we would take some time this week to let that love become real in our lives, to really think through that. And Lord, I pray that if we find ourselves falling into that fan category, that you would open ways for us to move into becoming a follower, to move us into a place where we love you and we're willing to sacrifice some of the things that we hold dear so that we can do the things that you're calling us to. Lord, I thank you for the freedom we have to be your followers, for the invitation we have to be in a relationship with you. Lord, I pray we take that invitation to heart. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.